Doa?
Yeah.
How you feeling?
I've injured myself, as we may have discussed, and I haven't been able to work out in over a week, and I'm cranky about it.
What is the underlying nature of your injury?
Age?
You're only 43.
I know. I'm not even that old. I'm not 100% sure. I go back on Monday. When this releases on Monday, I should know more, but right now I don't know more.
Where is the pain manifesting itself?
Oh, my left knee has, something has been torn or is out of whack in there. It makes horrible noises and hurts badly and pops and cracks, and I can't put, it doesn't bear weight well right now.
I hate to hear that.
Well, I appreciate that you.
Because I like you to be healthy.
Your feigned interest is...
It's not feigned whatsoever.
Your manufactured concern is touching.
Are
to
you
me.
Accusing me of concern trolling? Before we get to the self-facing parenthetical, I did Speed Rock this morning.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Metro was fine. It was good. Mm-hmm. Some of the usual suspects were not there, but McPants was there from F3 Metro, who's also famous for punting in an Ivy League football game without a helmet.
With no helmet, yeah. He's...
But McPants, who is a 43 listener, said with a little bit of heat, he's like, he's really dissatisfied with the volume of my microphone.
Yeah, what's up with that? You know, it's funny. He's the only guy that complains anymore.
So he's complained to you.
Well, I thought that he—is he the guy that, didn't he, somebody tweeted it or something?
Well, I'm sure that is him. Yeah. But yeah, I said, I think it's because of the dulcet tones of Doa. Because he has that deep radio voice to go with his radio face.
Right, radio face.
And that just probably makes my voice sound kind of weak and lame.
You know, I wonder if McPants has some sort of hearing deficiency, like at certain frequencies or something. Maybe he's got a problem.
A guy, we're talking the Ivy League, not the SEC here, but a guy who plays football,
right,
even at the college level, I'm assuming in the Ivy League they play pretty decent football. You could go out there without a helmet on. I don't care if you are the punter.
Right.
I mean, that you can get your bell rung.
You're going to get knocked around a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would think.
Maybe that's what happened.
It could be. I don't know. So anyway, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but if there's podpaxers out there that agree, please let Doa know so he can try to fix that. So let's move on to the self-effacing parenthetical.
Oh, please.
Yeah, well, let's do it. Which kind of goes to something that happened in the Twitterverse this week, is that the Denver guys started getting a little itchy about the planting of F3 Provo.
Salt Lake.
Yes. So, to which I just sort of said, yeah, sure, Dole, what's going on with that? To be honest with you, I didn't even really know.
Right. I mean, how are you supposed to know? There's a lot of them planting.
There's a lot of them planting. I didn't really know about that one. But I also don't have a good feel geographically for the distance between Denver and Provo. Is it hours or days or... I mean, it's the Wild West.
It's hours. It's many hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because those guys, you know,
they came with some heat. They were like, when's this cranking up?
T-claps to the F3 Denver guys for wanting to get to Provo and help those guys get F3. Okay, so it's really Salt Lake.
Whatever.
How far is Salt Lake from Provo? Do you know?
Roughly an hour.
It's an hour. So it's a suburb almost. Or...
Ish. Yeah.
Provo is the home of University of Utah, I understand, the Utes.
Oh, no.
No.
No, other way around.
Oh, where on? Yeah. Salt Lake is the home.
Salt Lake is the home of the Utes.
Provo is the home of Utah State.
The other Cougars.
The Utah State.
No. The BYU.
BYU. The Brigham Young Cougars.
Yeah.
The Utah Go State. Carnival. What's Utah State? If there is, I don't know.
Aggies.
Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Utah State is up further north. That's Logan.
Salt Lake City. Provo, Park City, Deer Park. These are some places I've been.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't name another city in Utah. Can you?
I can name lots, but
Logan.
You know, yeah, Logan, Ogden, St.
Ogden.
George. Yeah, Ogden. There's a number.
Ogden. Right? What's in Ogden? Something. I don't know. Anywho, you kind of got a little. And when I read your tweet, you came back and said, "Well, you don't even know what's going on here. You just need to be patient."
And I don't think that's exactly how it was said, but yeah.
Well, it was not with the typical self-effacing Doa-ish attitude. There's a little bit of heat there. I thought Doa.
Well, I think that the Colorado guys, you know, coming at us with when's this going, and I was like, yeah, you know, we're working on it, right? First of all, how did this become my problem?
I thought this was expansion.
I'm nothing.
Oh, so you have nothing to do
I
with
have nothing to do with any of it.
Then I have no idea how you had.
But I was scheming with Cocoa-Witch, F3 Cocoa.
That's what.
Right? And I went out there and visited.
Yeah.
Right. So you know, sort of. So it sort of.
Is this Cocoa-Witch from Fort Chiswell, or which Cocoa-Witch is that?
Yeah, from Fort Chiswell.
Or a different Cocoa-Witch.
We know he's got a cabin there with Cake Boss.
Oh, okay.
Chiswell. Yeah. So that's where he is. Yeah, that Cocoa-Witch. Yeah, so it sort of came to me, like on the Twitterverse, maybe it sort of got directed at me, but I don't have anything to do with that.
All right.
And so when you said, hey, yeah, let's hurry this up already, and I was like, you know, patience.
This is my fault. So second week in a row, I owe you a qualified apology.
A self-effacing apology.
Which is, I thought that you were very heavily involved with F3 Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
To your membership, I assumed, in the church formerly known as the Mormon Church.
Yeah. That's
right. And I guess
most recently known.
I put two and two together and got seven.
And it was a very reasonable thing to assume. And I am going to be involved in the sense that, you know, I'm going to go there and, you know, help Q and help launch and whatever. I'm going to help Coco with the things that he needs. But, you know, really, it's expansion. It's Jimmy.
Okay.
So I was just messing with you back because I know a lot of times you say those things just to stir.
That might have been maybe this time.
Yeah, it could.
I guess me assuming you would have something to do with F3 Salt Lake simply based on your membership in the church formerly known as the Mormon Church makes as much sense as me, because I'm a Presbyterian, being on the plant team for F3 Glasgow.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
It makes about as much sense.
Maybe a little more sense, but it's along the same line. Sure.
Okay.
And just to be clear, just because he keeps saying the church formerly known as, I'm not a former member.
No, the church
is not.
It's
the church's former. It's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints now.
Right.
And that's very long.
Well, everybody knows
that. But everybody
that.
Knows it is the.
No. Everyone knows that what used to be called the Mormon Church, which is simple, easy to remember. is no longer called that. It's now called the Holy Sepulchre of the. Say it again.
The Bleeding Mary. Of
say it again.
The,
what
something.
It's called? I've lost it already.
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why, because I cannot remember that seven
it's
words.
Very long.
It's a lot.
Right.
Easier for me to simply say the church formerly known as.
Right. To handle it in a prince-like
Mormon
manner.
Or like FKA Mormon.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
If that's okay with you.
It doesn't bother me. No, but, you know, what do I know?
I wouldn't think this. But I would think, to be fair also, don't members of FKA Mormon have a deeper affinity for the city of Salt Lake than, say, your average Presbyterian such as myself has
for
Glasgow?
Yes. Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 That's why I say it's probably a little more reasonable to think that I would be involved in Salt Lake than you would be in Glasgow.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
But along the same lines.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And your wife, I believe, is from the state of Utah.
She is.
She's from Provo, I think.
Close.
Right.
Yeah, just a little south of Salt Lake.
She used to work for the realtor Jim Swarthout, I think. Okay.
I don't even know who that is.
That was a Fletch reference. It was way.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah, it was way before
way
your
back.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably never saw that movie, but.
I think I may have, but it would have been a long time.
A long time. Anyway, Fletch enthusiast or Chevy Chase enthusiast in general, that really went out to you.
Yeah.
If you heard that, it means that for whatever reason, Doa didn't cut it. He's got a cutty looking thing on his face.
We don't cut. We go straight through.
Okay.
We did know that. We talked about it. Anyway.
Yes, we have.
And here we are. Getting ready to roll the open.
Let's roll the opening.
And we're back.
All right.
You're listening to 43 Feet, a podcast about leadership. We believe that real leading happens out front, but that means you're probably building the next 43 feet of good road for those behind you while you're running the race yourself. My name is Frank Schwartz, known in the gloom of the early morning as Dark Helmet to my F3 brothers. And I'm joined each week by Dave Redding, or Dredd, one of the co-founders of F3 Nation. We're going to answer your questions, pontificate wildly, teach leadership, and otherwise attempt to help you navigate the next 43 feet.
It's time to...
How is it that 28 or whatever episodes in that we are right now, I still think that's hilarious?
I I do.
There we go.
I'm ready to pontificate wildly.
It's going to be as wild as it ever has been today.
Wow.
I can assure you of this.
That's a boldish prediction. So what do you got first? What's our first feature?
Well, first regional tea clap.
Yes.
All right. I struggled. There's
a lot out there, man.
There's a lot out there. I mean, I thought we could give it sort of in a global sense to all the guys who have now brought FNGs in due to the men's health article.
Yep.
Which is huge.
Yep. That's
gone insane. There's probably, I mean, I can't even tell you how many referrals through the website and other things that have come from that. It's fantastic.
Scores.
Literal. Yeah. Yeah. Literal scores. I thought about, since we just launched QSource, I saw the Nation's Pow Pow was tweeting some numbers.
He's got some hand-scribed with a quill pen and a parchment.
Yes.
voluminous numbers.
He's old school.
He's old school. And quick shout-out to Nation's Pow Pow, turned 50 today.
I know.
Welcome to Respect.
Why does he look so much younger?
Some
of you guys.
Healthy living.
I guess so. He does. He looks good. And, Nation's Pow Pow hit the 5-0 today.
Yep, about time.
Happy birthday to him. I thought about, along those lines, he tweeted out that the Fort last week when they launched their QSource on Saturday had like 69 guys
show up. That's right. F3 Stinger from Metro.
Yeah, went down.
Well, I guess he's Nation now.
He's the Nation.
He's Nation. He's the Nation. So the Nation Stinger drove the, 12 miles from here to Baxter?
It's a long 12 miles.
Man, it's the longest 12 miles in America. For those of you who've ever been in Charlotte and have tried to get from Charlotte to Baxter Village to Southern Upper McDougal, it's 12 miles of absolute locked traffic.
Depending on the time of day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my kids came home the other night. She's like, "Oh, can you take me to something from practice?" I said, "Where is?" She goes, "It's near Carowinds, which is right on the McDougal." Yeah. And I said, "What time?" She said, 5:30. I said, "We could either leave at 3 in the afternoon
or just 6:30 not do it. And get there at the same time."
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. It's insane.
It's true. Yeah. But those guys, I thought we could maybe give a tea clap to those guys because that's a strong launch.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah. So,
but then the other one, did you see that Mike Leach was named, like coach of the year? He won some kind of accolade.
He was named College Football Association, CFA, or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Coach of the year because I don't know if you knew that. I know you don't know this.
I don't.
Is that Washington State Cougars have never before won 11 games? I think he's 11-2.
Wow.
He's 11-2. And that's the first time that's ever happened.
That's strong.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, do we give it to Puget Sound?
Just give it to him. Giving it to Puget Sound is problematic because they're on the west side of the Shasta.
Oh, they're on the, oh, you know what? Never mind. Forget I said that.
Yeah.
The regional tea clap this week goes to the Fort.
Goes to the Fort.
And that's not me being a
homer.
Well,
you're Nation now.
Right. Okay. So it doesn't count.
No, it counts.
Well, you know,
you're not being a homer.
I'm not being a homer. That's what I mean. It doesn't count as a homer.
Right.
Yeah. Regional tea clap to the guys of the Fort for a very strong QSource launch.
Only one minor caveat, and I'll let Doa decide, as I often do. I think there was a lot of rock guys who showed up at that. So
to be fair, there probably were a number.
The Nation's Pow Pow was originally a rock guy, and
that's true. And he was anyway. There. But he also is Nation-ish.
He's Nation.
He's Nation-ish with the QSource.
I'll let you decide, as I often do. Let Doa decide, but
by golly, counts, and we're giving him the tea claps.
Okay, well there you go.
And that's the end of that.
That's the end of that.
That's the end.
That takes us to thoughts and prayers.
To the tab. Yeah. I tried to get an update on this, and this is one that actually came in last week. And I tried to get an update, and I have not gotten an update on it yet. But down in Waycross, Georgia, the Trembling Earth is the name of the, I guess that's what they call themselves down there.
That's the name of the workout.
That's the name of the workout.
First I've heard of that.
Yeah. But there's a guy there named Loco from Trembling Earth, and his daughter was in an ATV accident and rushed to the hospital. And she was actually flown from Waycross to Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... no
status,
bueno.
Status.
That's what I'm saying. I'm waiting on an update.
Okay.
So I tried to get an update. Couldn't get one before the recording here. So I'm hopeful that we'll know something soon. But regardless, our thoughts and prayers with Loco and the guys from Trembling Earth.
Loco, Trembling Earth, families of all, our thoughts and prayers.
Yep.
Get well soon.
Absolutely. Which brings us to your favorite segment.
Is this the Pullman?
This is the Pullman, baby.
Do I have to dig into my Pullman bag, or do you have one?
So I got a bunch this week. See, here's, so guys are getting closer. So I wanted to give an attaboy for guys who are getting closer to understanding exactly good. What the Pullman is and how it works.
Okay, four attaboys. I've got a new name for an attaboy.
Oh, okay.
Any time we want to give just a quick
attaboy. When it was closest.
T-claps. T-claps is really for a more major thing.
Okay.
And it's actually something that you accomplish.
Right.
You know, if you're moving in the right direction, it's just kind of the I like what you're trying to do thing.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll give you a cake boss.
I love it.
One, two, perfect. Or three triple cake boss.
Yeah. So I would give a couple of these probably like a single CB.
Okay.
Yeah. A one CB. Yeah, all single right. CB, a double CB.
All right.
So the it was actually Iverson out of your favorite.
Chiswell?
Out of your favorite region, I think, in the whole world, only because now there's actually work out there. When you used to reference that there was never going to be a work out there, he is from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Hey, oh yes, hey, right. It's been a year or two.
Yeah, and he's out there killing right. it. But he wrote in and said, "What about pennies?" Pennies. Yeah. A longstanding vexing problem for the United States is that it costs like 1.3 cents or something like that to make a penny, and yet we still mint pennies. So every time we have a penny made, we're losing money on the penny. Right? And so he says, there's got to be some way to solve the penny crisis
okay.
that is facing America.
All right.
But he didn't have his own solution to that. So I thought, you know what? We'll give him a single CB.
Wait a second. That's just a problem?
He's saying that's a vexing problem, but he did not have a good answer.
Okay.
So I think it's out of, hey, I think you understand the idea of a Pullman.
There's
a long-standing problem.
Yeah, that's a cake boss.
But you didn't quite get to the single, idea that you got to come with something.
Single cake boss.
A single cake boss for that.
To Iverson.
Yeah. So and I got one here that's really involved, and it could never happen. But another one, I think it's close to a double cake boss. Maybe it could be considered a full Pullman. I got a note today, and he said, what about, I don't remember who wrote this one. I apologize to the guy. I'll look it up. But he said, what about the middle armrest on the plane?
Yes.
And again, he's, you know, no.
Is this a longstanding problem?
Of who gets that middle armrest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Who gets the middle armrest?
Right.
When you're sitting, the armrest that's between two people, who gets that?
I thought it was the most masculine man.
That's what I do. I mean, look.
Is that not the?
You take a look at this bicep and you think you're going to get that?
I just start man spreading and leaning.
That's right. Just sort of subtly marking my
sure.
Staking so my
does
claim.
He have a does he have a solution?
And again, no real solution. Right.
Single
cake boss.
Single cake boss.
So you
but
guys,
you're right. Both Iverson and this is probably Funny Bones.
Probably
Funny Bones have grasped the first
yes
third of it.
Yeah, you're right there with the
a long-standing vexing problem.
Yeah.
Okay, that's first.
To which there is likely.
No, but the second part is the reasonable,
yeah,
perfectly reasonable solution, which they missed.
Right.
The third missed. Part is
that will never be adopted.
Never be adopted. So yeah. Iverson and Funny Bones have both gotten single cake bosses because they've gotten the first leg.
So well done, but only one CB.
Well done. Okay. Yes. Moving in the right direction.
Moving
sure.
in the right direction.
Yes. Thank you, Bones.
We like what you're trying
thank
to
you,
do.
Thank you, Iverson.
We like what you're trying to do.
Right. We do. Practice,
for
not
crying
the
out loud, do it.
No.
Yep. So, and then there was one. And I tried desperately to find Gnarly Goat had one about starting NASCAR races with a foot race to the car in front or something like that.
There's just no long.
And I couldn't find the thing anyway. So here's the real one.
All right.
And I warned this guy that this
is this the Wagonator again?
No. This is this actually is Zartan out of Louisville.
Zartan, who may be. Captain in facto.
Oh.
Throwing that out, Zartan.
Could be.
Okay,
could
go.
Be.
Go.
He says, here's the issue. People are stupid.
sounds like facto. Right? So far, Zartan.
So far,
yeah.
You're firing all the facto cylinders. He says, be it actually like because they're literally intelligent or they're, you know, misguided worldviews or whatever the reason is. But that is his assertion that people are stupid on a daily basis. You have to deal with these people face to face on the phone, et cetera, et cetera. And we waste a ton of time trying to be nice and PC with our response or not to offend or instigate further conversation when all we really want to do is say, your statements are stupid and you should reevaluate your thoughts before you speak and then walk away from them. And he said, what if we adopted universally an accepted response that conveys the message politely that I don't have time for this. Your statements are stupid. This conversation is over. And then finally a peace and love, right? So if you could have one way to sort of wrap all that up into one thing, and he says, all you have to do is say check and then walk away or hang up or, you know, hit send on your mobile device.
The word check?
To say check, as in to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Oh, okay. All right. And Captain Inzarto thinks that that would never be implemented.
He says there's no way that that's getting implemented, but he thinks it would be a nice solution to this problem of, rather than arguing or rather than having something negative or nasty to say to each other or fighting about it or engaging in a conversation for an extended period of time that you don't want to be in, you simply say, check.
Okay.
And then I, you know, or like check please maybe. Or,
could
you
say noted?
Maybe.
Okay.
So that I present to you the Pullman that came.
All right.
And now.
Okay. First of all, the first analysis is whether or not it's a longstanding problem. And in fact, it is.
It is.
I agree with Zarto.
Yes. Captain Inzarto.
Second.
In fact,
whether or not this is a perfectly reasonable solution, I absolutely think so.
Pretty reasonable.
You know, if I was pontificating wildly or blathering on and some guy just said, check.
Right.
I say, all right.
Got it. Noted.
Got it.
Yeah.
I'll go get myself some beef jerky and move on. Third, does it have any chance of being implemented? Absolutely not.
No, it does not.
It's clearly not.
No way.
So it qualifies as a Pullman. So you're halfway there.
Okay.
All right. Well, you actually, no, you are you, on.
You've met the qualifications. And the question is, where does it get rated?
Where does it get rated?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to let you go first, Doa.
So
is it a Mike Price because it's good-ish? Oh, no, I mean bad-ish.
Bad-ish.
Or is it a Mike Leach because it's good-ish?
So I think from a humor standpoint, maybe it leans Leach-ish. From my perspective, and not to get overly serious about something that clearly is marginally a joke at least, right? I'm going to give it a little bit of a price because I think the solution is not to say check and walk away. I think the real solution, if we're going to, in the interest of full disclosure, is you got to change your heart, man. People ain't stupid.
Meaning you can't let yourself get upset by it.
Because people are people.
Yeah.
And rather than thinking to yourself, you're an idiot, and allowing that to enter your brain and then feeling like you have to deal with this person or whatever, what if instead I changed my heart, changed my mind, and tried to figure out a way to understand and love that person, and then it solves the same problem.
Okay.
Right? But it's not sort of this snarky kind of way
I think,
to handle it.
You know, if I understand it, isn't Zarto's day job, he's some sort of coder, like a 01 guy, like he does computer code and all that.
Captain Inzarto or actually Zartan?
Zarto himself.
Zarto?
He has that kind of job, right?
No, Zartan actually is he's a insurance guy, sales guy.
Insurance sales guy, which is funny because you think of sales guys being, having the gift of gab. But I would say to Zartan, I got to stop thinking about him as Captain Inzarto.
Right.
to Zartan, as a Zartan, in my job as an attorney, that's all I deal with.
Mm.
I mean, all day long.
That's true.
So my ability to find a tactful way to deal with those people is pretty much my stock and trade. I would think as an insurance salesman, same thing. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe so. Maybe he doesn't have the patience and whatever. I don't know. But
you take a guy, some insurance salesman I know here, like Mighty Mighty Albate, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's somewhat broader than just insurance. But
he does a number of things.
Yeah, he does a number of things.
Retirement, investment, stuff like
that. That guy, doesn't matter how stupid what you say to him, he finds a way to try to find a silver lining.
Right.
You know,
he's about as nice a guy as there is.
Tries to be. So I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of ideas that are stupid. And then we find out later that they weren't stupid.
Yeah.
You just couldn't see them. So I don't know. Because of that, I'm going to give him a right dead in the middle.
Oh, a Mike Lice?
Well, you are, it's neither Price nor Leach. It's dead in the middle. You're leaning Price.
Okay.
So,
That
Zartan, that's pretty good.
It's not bad, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean,
it's not bad.
I think he's.
See, but he captured the idea.
He understands it.
Yes.
So he gets a triple cake boss for that.
For sure, yeah.
And he also gets, in the middle somewhere-ish.
It's
on the Mike scale.
Yeah, he's teetering in the middle of the Mike.
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
Way to go.
Thanks, Artane.
Nice work.
T claps to you. So, there was a mixed egg today.
Oh, yeah?
On the Twitterverse.
I was just going to say, do we have any mixed eggs? And here we are.
Yeah, so here we are. There was a mixed egg, and there isn't any. There aren't any quality eggs in the basket today for us to pluck from.
I think I saw this one, though. Go ahead.
Okay, so what this one was, and this comes from Nine Lives in Lake Norman. Mm-hmm. So every morning, for those of you who are unwise enough not to follow me on Twitter and read all that stuff, is
sad.
I send out a different piece of scripture to go with the cue point of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So for some of these, there's just lots and lots of them. For some of them, it's a little more difficult. But so anyway, for language, you know, I have a different one, you know, Monday through Sunday. And today's is, I think it's the first line of John, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Christ. And Nine Lives question what that has to do with language. And I think his exact question, which I don't have in front of me, was, and he was tactfully said, I don't mean to be cynical here or anything.
No, but, and he was really good about this. What is the
proclamation of the coming Messiahship of Christ have to do with a bunch of knuckleheads making up a language of their own?
It's right.
A decent paraphrase.
That's
right?
pretty close, yeah.
Right. Which I thought was actually a good mixed egg. That's a good question, right? My answer to that is kind of twofold. Number one, it's pretty hard, because I've tried really hard to find good pieces of scripture that go towards the concept of language, which for us is the lexicon of virtuous leadership, right? I mean, it's pretty hard to find those.
Right.
And but this one I thought fit the bill, which was in the sense that whether or not you're a believer, Jesus' arrival shook things up quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And since he arrived, much of what he said changed the language of leadership, not only in his time, but descending into time. So now,
every generation since.
Yeah, I mean, I forget what class I was taking where the professor pointed out all the words that came out of the mouth of Jesus that people, or all the things that they don't even understand or saying them for, you know, just worked in the vernacular, like, you know, turn the other cheek or something.
Right.
You know, it's just a lot of them, right?
Tons.
And because of that, I would say that his arrival on earth and his way of speaking and the introduction of the word of his truth into the life of the people, life of the world, was an example of language, of a lexicon of effective leadership. So that was my answer, which I try to do in 260 characters, and maybe didn't do it full justice, but hopefully I did a better job of it just now.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a good, I actually thought it was a pretty good explanation on the old, old Twitters. Yeah.
Thank you, Doa. Yeah.
Hey, no problem.
Doa, man, it's helpful. So
I try to be nothing if not helpful. But speaking of language.
Ah, what a quality professional segue.
I mean, you know,
yeah.
At least you didn't have to really draw too far for that one. But speaking of language, that is F2. And that is where we are this week.
Right.
And there's a lot of, if you haven't read it yet, then by all means, we commend you to do so. There's a number of things within language, and there's a good reason for why we have a language. And some of those, you know, you just kind of touched on. But if we backed out and said, exactly why do you think it's so important? And why do you really believe that effective groups have a unique language? And what is it that about that unique language that helps them to drive toward advantage?
Right. Why is it foundational for leadership?
Yeah, why does that matter so much?
Yeah, I think it matters so much because verbal communication is such an inherent part about how human beings interact.
Mm-hmm.
If you imagine trying to lead without using words, how difficult that would be. So if you've ever been in the military and you're in periods of limited visibility and high stress, either you can't talk.
Right.
Because
that might be too loud, or noise
and light discipline.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's too loud, or there's a variety of other things that are at work that make it impossible to speak, and or to say many words that could be understood. So, for example, if you're getting ready to jump out of an airplane with a parachute, not on a static line, not as in a free fall mode, but you're crammed up in the fuselage of an aircraft. Mm-hmm. There's static lines running from the back of your parachute. There's lines everywhere. You're affixing them to this long cable that runs on the inside of the fuselage. If anything gets twisted up, chances are your body could remain on the plane while the parachute went out the plane. And you could see the problem there, right? Yeah. So it's critical, but you can't hear anything because the interior of a military aircraft is not insulated in the way that a commercial aircraft is. So you don't realize that you can't really hear. You can only hear it shouting.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing is you're extremely fatigued. Your heart is racing because you're about to jump out the door of an airplane. They're generally kind of hot in there. The lights are dim because if you open the, you're going to open the door.
Right.
And if you open the door and you have bright lights in there.
Oh, look, let's shoot at that.
The enemy on the ground can see you highlighted in the sky. So there's just a million reasons why. So a huge part of an airborne operation and learning to do it is learning these words that are repeated and these hand motions that go with it so that you can be effective. So, you know, and I can almost remember it. Oh, it's been like 30 years, but it's like stand up, hook up. Sound off, stand by for equipment check, sound off for equipment check. And I can't remember probably the rest of them, but there's, oh, and there's like warnings, you know, like 1 minute, 30 seconds. So, you know, cause you can get it in your mind.
Right.
But these words start out at the end, the jump master, the guy who's putting everybody out the door, he relays them back through the entire, it's called a stick of jumpers and they relay it to the guy behind them. And it's a well-oiled machine. Now, it's not localized to, say, a particular squad in the 82nd Airborne. You know, they have their own way of doing it.
Mm.
I mean, if you're in, you know, in a squad in the 82nd Airborne, you find yourself jumping with one of the 1st Battalion, 74th Ranger Regiment, guys you've never met before, but you're on the aircraft with them, same words.
Yeah, well, it has to be.
Same words.
Yeah.
You have to be. You know, you have to have these words that into which you pack powerful, powerful meaning. I think I've given this example
so we have talked about it
before. Yeah. But an example from the military is that if you're on the radio, you don't say, hey,
repeat. Yeah.
Because if you can't hear, because that means shoot the fire machine. So, I mean, whatever you just did,
do that again.
Do it again.
Yeah.
You say again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the effective language of leadership. And learning that effective language and knowing how to use those words and other words, those are formalized words that are part of a standing operating procedure, part of the doctrine. But there's, you know, plenty of other informal words that arise in the military or terms or, you know, just usage, vernacular that gets used to make it work. No different than, I think, the example used in the synthesis is that the New England Patriots or any football team has their own particular words that they use that are in their playbook.
Right.
Right. And you can find them. Same with the Bible. You know, there's words in the Bible that means
really,
something.
Pretty much any group to which you belong.
Any group that's effective.
That's okay.
Right.
Fair.
Ineffective groups don't have a common language.
Because then they're communicating all over the place.
That's
you know, it's funny because you just made me think of when we go to any place that's very crowded, airport, amusement park, whatever it might be, especially when my kids were younger, I would pull them aside and I would say, okay, now kids, it's business time. Right? And that was our effective language for saying that means dad's going to handle things in a very specific way, in a very specific manner, so that we all stay together, we all stay safe, we have an objective to accomplish, you know, whatever it might be,
Fun time's over.
Right, and so they would know instantly. I'd say, okay, now guys, dad's not mad,
right?
Because that was, you know, got confusing, you know, to the kids, right? No, nobody's upset, nobody's anything. We're just going to be communicating in a very specific kind of way, and I pack all of, they know what all that means by saying, okay, guys, dad's in business mode. And they go, okay, got it. And then they can be effective. And similar, yes?
Yeah, I had one for my kids, which was pick up a spot.
Okay.
And what that meant was we're trying to get something done, clean the house or get ready to go on a trip or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they've driven mom crazy and they can't get it done. And I would come in and there were three little kids all about the same age. And I would say, pick up a spot. And they were supposed to drop down into, you know, crisscross applesauce on the floor.
Mm.
And then I was going to give them one instruction at a time. So I would say, each one of you go and get your suitcase and return to this location.
Yeah.
And they would go get their little suitcase and come back. I'd say, now, I'd say, Mom, how many pairs of underwear are they supposed to have? Five. I'd say,
good.
Each one of you go get five pairs of underwear and return to this location. And they'd bring them back, and I'd inspect it, and I'd say, you have four. Go get another
Try
one.
Again.
You have six. Go bring one back. And then, you know, we go through this thing step by step, and then we would finish the task because their little brains could not handle a broad instruction.
Yeah, you couldn't say, okay, pack your stuff.
Right. They couldn't handle
trouble.
That. So, and they used to, I think they were torn by, you know, when I'd say pick up the spot, they would roll their eyes because they knew that now we were going to be all methodical. But I think they took some comfort in because they understood it.
Absolutely they did.
You know,
they didn't maybe even know it at the time, but absolutely they did.
Right. So now that they're teenagers, the other night we had a similar type incident, and we just could not get the Christmas decorations taken down. They couldn't coordinate it. So I said, all right, this is going to be the adult version of pick up the spot, pick a seat on the couch.
Oh, no. Did you get the eye rolls? Or
No, they laughed. They said, oh, it's been a long time since we heard that. And I said, yeah, but I'm not going to make you sit on the floor.
Right. So, but you're still going to perform the task.
That's right. I said, first thing we're going to do is go get the boxes for the Christmas ornaments.
But it was effective, yes?
Yeah, it was effective.
Right. And we accomplished the task.
Right.
Yeah.
So part of that, and we're going to get this downstream in the Q source, and this is why language is foundational. It's a part of consistency.
Yeah.
Of being a consistent leader, using the same words and phrases all the time. It helps people understand what they're doing. It makes you more effective.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of teamwork,
mm-hmm.
right? And these things. So language and the use of language by the leader, particularly using that specific and particularized language that the group itself has embraced and adopts, is a mark of leadership. And you know, if you go to a workout and there's kind of a VQ out there, a virgin Q, and he doesn't have the... You know, everyone's patient with him, but he, you know, he doesn't have the...
Not super effective.
Right, not super effective.
Yeah.
And then a guy's been doing it for a long time. He knows how to...
Right, he can snap the guys right in there. They can get right to go.
Use the words that get them moving and, you know, and that's the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
It promotes effective leadership. In the inverse, the lack of it, when you take a word that has power, that has power and you denature it.
Mm-hmm. Right?
You change it into something else through misuse. So this is not in the synthesis,
mm-hmm.
but the baseline for this or the foundation for this was something I got out of the book Mere Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, I think it was C.S. Lewis describing why it's dangerous for Christians to have hyphens, in other words, to say, I'm a fundamentalist Christian or I'm a liberal Christian. Mm-hmm, or, you know, because Christianity just means follower of Christ.
Right.
That's all it means. There's really no need to append.
Right. And tag your little piece on there. Yeah.
You know, although I did it the other day, call myself a muscular Christian. Or we talked about muscular Christianity.
Well,
right.
And I saw that article.
Sure.
But, fair. Okay.
Okay. So, and that raises a little interesting sidelight, which I'll try not to waste too much time for. I would contend that muscular Christianity is Christianity.
Okay.
That the reason why we've tagged the word muscular on it is to kind of return this idea to a more masculine way, and to think that Jesus Christ wasn't masculine.
Mm.
You know, traipsing the hills and withstanding the whippings and the beatings and the crucifix. I mean, to do all that, to capture the attention of a bunch of men who work with their hands.
Right.
Fishermen and carpenters and things.
Nothing wimpy.
There was nothing weak about him. He wouldn't have been able to do it. So, in my mind, the idea of muscularness or masculinity is baked in to Christianity. You don't have to have the adjective.
Right.
And which is really actually, now that I've talked myself into it, really kind of proves Lewis's point, is when you denature the idea of something like that,
mm-hmm.
then you have to reinstitute the word.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So he gives the example of the word gentleman,
mm-hmm.
which in America kind of means, when I say that word, what pops in your head?
Right, we think a polite person, you know, or whatever.
Right, polite and comports himself with a certain dignity.
Clean cut, professional.
And grace, professional. Mm-hmm. Gentleman, right?
But
officer
gentleman,
and a gentleman, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now the problem with that is the original meaning of gentleman has nothing to do with manners whatsoever. It simply means one who is landed gentry. Mm. In other words, you are...
He owns something.
Yeah, you are of the class of nobility or whatever, right? You're landed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're in that different class, which they had in England, right? You're a peasant, you know, or
not. Or a gentleman.
Right. That's what a gentleman was, right?
That's funny.
Right. Now, I think the idea of what a gentleman should do, how he should act... Right, because he's landed gentry, because he's the manor born. Right, he has certain obligations and the idea of noblesse oblige. Right, to act in a certain way and to look out for people. You would want him to act.
But maybe it was more of he acted like kind of a chicken egg thing, right? He didn't act that way.
Right.
You know, like he was that way, and that's why he got where. Yeah.
But I think in England, if you said to a member of the landed gentry who was comporting himself as a cad, you would say, come now, governor, act yourself right. as a gentleman, you know, as a war, right. you know, be a gentleman.
Right.
Right.
Who you are.
It's more who you wish to be. Right.
Right.
More than a description of what you are, or a class or anything. Mm-hmm. Right. Or it is a class. Gentleman was a class. It was a thing.
Right.
Right. It was a thing. It was something you were. It was a status. That's the word.
Okay. Okay.
Not an aspiration. It was a status.
It was a zero and a one. You belonged right. or you didn't belong. Right.
Americans have a difficult time understanding this unless we watch Upstairs Downstairs or, I guess, the Downton Abbey now. Downton Abbey. I watched Upstairs Downstairs when I was a kid.
My wife will listen to this and she'll understand completely.
Yeah.
I never watched
right.
the show.
So you have two different social classes.
Right.
You know, the gentry and the commoners, you know, the upstairs and downstairs, and, you know, the never twain shall meet.
Mm-hmm.
Through aspiration, you cannot become a gentleman.
Right. Yeah, no matter how you
if
act.
If you're, you know, lowborn.
Right.
No, air quote, low born.
Yeah. So no matter what your behavior looks like, even right. if you acted in the exact same way, you ain't in.
You ain't in, right. So it's really, but in America, it's purely aspirational because, as you know, Doa, we don't have a gentry.
No, we don't.
There is no landed noble class. There are no sirs, right? We are egalitarian. right. It's a republic,
yeah.
right? So, you know, it's funny when the word gentleman gets bandied about in America. I mean, you need to act like a gentleman. Oh, like landed gentry?
Right.
Really, the word has lost its force.
Which brings that point that you make, that our culture has
denatured it.
Completely denatured it.
Completely denatured
it. It has no, it doesn't mean anything anymore.
So a virtuous leader would make it his business to renature words. Or if a word could not be renatured, and I would say gentleman is lost to us.
Right, yeah. It's,
right?
It belongs to the goo now.
He belongs to the goo. He would focus on the words that have not been lost that can be rejuvenated. An example, that would be accountability, as we mm-hmm. say in the synthesis. Or, if necessary, to just make up a word.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Or he'll do what you do, or well, what we do,
we
which
do,
is
right.
we'll invent a word.
Invent a word. Now, goo, the word you just used, is an example of the invention of such a word.
Mm-hmm.
And what goo is the philosophy of universal happiness.
Right.
And what that means is that the worldview that really any kind of obstacle or any kind of hardship is bad.
Right.
And our goal should
be supposed
to
run around
happy,
blissful.
Right.
Yeah.
And anything that makes anybody unhappy, regardless, must be wrong and has to be eliminated.
Mm.
And that's the philosophy of universal happiness. What we call Goo Nation are the organizations or the people that form groups together.
Right, the proprietors
right,
thereof. Yeah.
That see that as a governing principle.
Right.
So that's where you get these ideas about trigger warnings or campus speech codes.
Microaggressions.
Microaggressions.
Yeah.
They all come from this
safe
kind of gooist, this gooist idea. Now, the reason we came up with that is because I think there's a element in the political discourse that wants to attribute those ideas to the left.
Sure.
Or to progressives or to liberals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's fair or accurate.
Okay. What do you think is fair or accurate?
Well, I think that it's a different cohort. There might be a Venn diagram crossover.
Yeah, okay.
There.
Yeah. There might be some overlap.
Sure.
But
I think there's plenty of people who are rightish that also would do the same
for
or
sure.
also have
yeah.
gooist
oh, for sure.
tendencies.
For
so
sure.
I don't actually think gooism fits on a political spectrum. To me, gooism is apart from that, but we need to call it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because it what goo does and gooism does is it reduces standards, it destroys accountability, it makes the striving for universal happiness the paramount thing.
Right. There are just as many right-leaners and left-leaners who love T-ball.
Who love what?
Who love T-ball.
Who love T-ball, right.
yeah.
Or a trophy for everyone.
Right.
Or
yeah.
who would say that any kind of pain or hardship is a negative thing.
Right.
Rather than rather than a thing that's part of what's making you more durable.
Right.
All right. So there's some examples of why language is so important, why the lexicon of effective leadership would lead one to be very careful about the words they use in leadership and the groups that they lead, to redefine words when necessary, and if necessary, to come up with new words for concepts that either don't exist or the words that would have formerly been used and useful in that way. That they just don't have them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just what we have to do. I mean, you know, going back to the football example, somebody came up with the idea of a dive play and
mm-hmm.
or a 5-4 defense or, you know, you name it. I mean, those were all ideas that concept of words that
right. came they didn't about. Exist from the time
right. That's right.
the world started.
That's yeah. right. That's right. So to be able to do that, because yeah. you know, I'm a lawyer, so it's true of me to some degree. You as a, I guess you want to be a media professional. What do you want to be?
Sure, communications professional.
Communication professional. We're like poets, priests, and politicians. We have words to thank for our position, right?
Sure.
And I think everyone else could learn a little bit of that. You know, Doa?
Yes, sir.
You got a face for radio.
Would you say I have a radio face?
You got a radio face.
It's a good thing this is a podcast.
Boom. Poets, priests, and politicians.
Thanks for listening to 43 Feet, a leadership podcast. If you have questions about leadership, F3, or anything else, write us at questions@43feetpodcast.com. Tweet us at 43 Feet Podcast, or send a carrier pigeon to 43 Feet, 1415 South Church Street, Suite B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28203. Until next time, we'll be here in the unknown, the uncomfortable, the difficult. The 43 Feet out front.